What is going on, sports fans? Welcome in to the Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola podcast. Lots to talk about on today's show. Start with Game 3 of the NBA Finals, a game which was very crucial for the Dallas Mavericks if they wanted a chance at climbing back and making this series a little bit of respectable, and obviously to help avoid a potential sweep. They had their opportunities last night. Porzingis, in fact, did not play because of that tendon injury in his leg, so they were, you know, had the upper hand there. They were at home in front of their fans, so they didn't have to bother, you know, dealing with crowd noise or anything going against them. But they still fall 106-99. They had opportunities in this game, you know. And we'll talk about it in a little bit more in just a second. But, I mean, they erased a 21-point lead in the final 11 minutes that the Celtics had. They had opportunities. They were up at points in this game. This was a back-and-forth game for the most part until the second half. Boston really took control of this game. But you got to look at this series now. And you have to wonder, does Dallas have what it takes to even get a game? Definitely an issue in this game, or in this series, really, honestly and truthfully, between these two teams. Because Boston is set up to where they can lose a guy like Porzingis and have guys step up around them. They can get good performances from Jrue Holiday, from Jason Tatum, who had 31 points last night, and Jaylen Brown, who had 30 points last night. They can have those guys play extremely well, and having a guy like Porzingis out of the lineup doesn't really affect them. We've seen it all through the postseason. We saw it last night. No Porzingis, no problem, which is good for Boston because it doesn't look like Porzingis is probably going to play another game the rest of this season. He's probably done for the year. They're probably just going to put him out for the rest of the year because they're in a situation now where all they've got to do is win one game. Dallas has to win four in a row. And by the way, out of teams that have started 3-0 in NBA history in the NBA Finals, it's happened 156 times. You know how many times a team that started 3-0 has won? 156. Never in the NBA Finals has a team come down from an 0-3 deficit to win the series and win the NBA title. So Dallas has put themselves in quite a tough hole right here. And it doesn't matter that Porzingis is playing or not. Boston's just still going to roll on through. I mean, everything that we talked about that Dallas need to have happen last night happened. Kyrie stepped up and played like Kyrie. He had 35 points. Luka had 27 points. He fouled out about 5 minutes left in the game. But still, you got the points, you got the production from the guys you needed production from. We looked at game one and game two of this series and said it can't just be Luka. Last night it wasn't just Luka, and Boston still found a way to win the game. Boston is just showing that they are steps ahead of Dallas. And that's not bad for Dallas. It doesn't mean that the Mavericks are in a bad spot. It just means that they are a couple of years behind where Boston is. Remember, what was it, 2 years ago, Boston was playing for the NBA championship against the Golden State Warriors, lost that series. That series loss right there, having to watch Golden State win the trophy and lift that trophy up and celebrate, that kind of sparked what we're seeing from the Celtics right now, right? The direction that they changed the organization to go in, the players that they brought in over the last couple of seasons, it has all led to this moment. And even the Celtics players, whether it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Jrue Holiday, whoever it is, will talk to you about it. You know, especially the guys that were part of that team in 2022. That's been a driving force, and it's been a message to the entire team. This is our year. We have the team. We've spent the last two seasons putting this team together for this particular reason. We've got back to the NBA Finals. We fixed what were the issues 2 years ago, and now this year we're going to go ahead and win it. And man, if they haven't done a great job of just looking completely and utterly unbeatable so far in the postseason, just running through everybody, even when we talked about it, even when we lose a guy like Porzingis, they just shrug it off. They're like, even when we lose a guy like that, doesn't really bother us. Next man up. and they back it up. Full complete team effort again last night for the Boston Celtics. They got a 3-0 series, 106-99 win last night in Dallas. Game four and potentially the last game of the NBA season is coming up on Saturday, day after tomorrow, I believe. Or is it Friday? Give me one second. As I look this up, I thought that this would be a series that Dallas would get a couple of games and we would be able to see a situation. It's actually tomorrow night. My bad. I misspoke there. It's not Saturday night. It's Friday night. But I thought this was going to be a series where Dallas was going to get a couple of games. We would go six games, but ultimately Boston was just the better team. I did not have a sweep on my NBA Finals bingo card. You might have, and if you did, kudos to you. Kudos to you. I just did not see Dallas just kind of face planning and not really being able to do anything. Now, granted, probably should have thought that. Probably should have thought that was the case. If you look at the way the regular season matchup between these two teams went, Boston absolutely annihilated them. And it was that game that they got embarrassed so bad in that Jason Kidd said, yeah, we got to change things drastically on how we play defense. And they did, and they became one of the best defensive teams in the NBA because of that. The adjustments they made because of how bad the Celtics embarrassed them in the regular season. Those adjustments are still not working, so that's just speaking to how strong and how good the Boston Celtics are. I don't think there's any chance that this game goes to five games. I think I picked Boston in six, but I think if you look at it right now, last night's game tells me everything I need to know, and that's that this series is over. All we need is one more game. Boston wins it. We're done. Moving on to the offseason for the NBA and talking about free agency and things like that, which we will have a lot to talk about with guys like Paul George and LeBron James and D'Angelo Russell. So we've got a lot to talk about in the free agency market once we get to that point later on this month. But right now for the NBA Finals, no Porzingis. You're at home. You get good production from Luka and Kyrie, even though Luka does file out in the last 5 minutes of the game. And you still can't get the win. I think the writing's on the wall. This series is over, and Dallas does not have a chance. Statistically, it proves it. 156-0 when a team has a 3-0 lead in the NBA Finals. So we'll see how it plays out. Like I said, Game 4 coming up tomorrow night, 7:30 on ABC. You can also listen to it right here on ESPN Pensacola. But, yeah, I don't know. Dallas needs a miracle if they want to come back into this series. Edmonton, they're going to be looking for a little miracle of their own. They're down 2-0 against the Florida Panthers for the Stanley Cup. Game 3 of that game happening tonight. Oilers are going to look to kind of fight back into this series a little bit. They're not quite in a serious situation as the Dallas Mavericks are because they're only down 0-2. Win tonight can definitely put them in moving in the right direction, especially with a game or two at home. So, you know, I think for them, it's just stick to your guns, stick to your plan, go play your game. You're at home. You're going to have home ice advantage. It's going to be something to where you're going to have the opportunity. Edmonton plays really well at home. They're going to have an opportunity to steal a game here in this series. Bobrovsky is, I don't want to say Bobrovsky struggles on the road because he really doesn't. Is he as good as he is when he plays in sunshine down there in South Florida? No, absolutely not. Which, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Florida Panthers, when I say plays in sunshine, there, Sunshine, Florida is the exact town that they're located in by the Everglades. But a lot of people think that they're in Miami. They're actually in Sunshine, which is kind of the same area. But anyways, I digress. He's still great. Bobrovsky is still dynamic and dominant in the net for the Panthers. But there is a little bit more of an opportunity to get to him when he's the visiting goalie and not the home goalie. Crowd's not going to start chanting Bobby halfway through the game, trying to stir him up and get him all excited. So, I think there's going to be an interesting opportunity here for Edmonton in this game. If they can find some holes in Bobrovsky's net, I think that they are going to have an opportunity to get a game in this series. I think, again, power play is going to be big. I know I keep talking about power play in this series, and I keep talking about power play in this series because Edmonton is the best in the NHL at converting power plays into goals. And who is the most penalized as far as minutes in the penalty box goes in the NHL? The Florida Panthers. You're playing a team that is prone to end up in the penalty box, and you are very, very, very good at scoring goals on the power play. You've got to use that to your advantage if you're Edmonton, especially tonight, because you don't want to fall in that situation. We were just talking about it with the Mavericks. You don't want to fall in that situation where you then have to win four games in a row to win the championship. Win tonight. You can kind of breathe a little bit. That pressure is off your shoulders. It's off your chest. You can kind of focus a little bit more on moving in to game four with a win on the board. So Edmonton's got to win the power plays tonight. They've got to find the holes with Bobrovsky's defense there in the goal. If they can do that, I think the Oilers got a great shot at winning tonight's game. But again, if they lose tonight, I think it's kind of the same story as Dallas. You know, you go on the road or you're at home. You can't get it done at home. You're going to have to win four in a row. And in any sport, whether it's baseball, whether it's hockey, whether it's basketball, any sport that has this tournament style, best of whatever number type series for their postseason, if you can't win on the road or at home and you're just going down 0-2, 0-3, you're not going to last much long. So I think in this situation, Edmonton's really got to pull it off tonight. They've got to get this game. This is a big game for them. They're at home. Like I said, it's easy. Win the power play. That's all you got to do. You get those opportunities. When you get those manned advantages, take them. Take the opportunity. Put it in the back of the net. You'll be all right. Let's move on now away from the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals to a little hot dog eating contest. Yeah, we're talking about that again because there's more saga or to this Joey Chestnut saga than other than just him being banned from the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on 4th of July in Coney Island. Because, see, the thing about it is he had another one up his sleeve. So all that comes out, right? And everybody's talking about Joey Chestnut. It's the big story. Oddly enough, it's the big story in sports with the Stanley Cup Finals, with the NBA Finals, all of that stuff going on, Jerry West passing away. Everybody's still talking about Joey Chestnut getting banned from the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest because that is such a polarizing event, especially with Joey Chestnut involved. But he's got another event. He and Kobayashi, who is his longtime rival, they don't really get along well. They kind of duke it out there in the eating contest quite a bit. They'll actually have a hot dog eating contest of their own. It's going to be on Netflix on Labor Day, which is September 2nd. Kobayashi not been a part of the National Eating League, whatever the league is called. Yes, there's an actual league of professional eaters. And then he has not been a part of the Nathan's show or the Nathan's contest since 2010. And Chestnut actually was the one that 3 years before he was done with the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, Kobayashi had a 7-year win streak, and Joey Chestnut's the guy that ended that in 2007. So, you know, it's one of those things where Kobayashi after that, Kobayashi kind of came out and said, yeah, I'm just going to go year to year. And Nathan's was like, well, we want you to sign an exclusive deal where you only come to our contest and perform in our contest. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, well, we're going to ban you. So honestly and truthfully, it seems like Nathan's, their hot dog contest, they just like to ban people. I need to be careful. They're probably going to ban me. I'll never be able to buy their hot dogs again, which they give me heartburn. That might be blessing in disguise. Anyways, Kobayashi actually released a statement saying, retiring for me will only happen after I beat him, meaning Joey Chestnut. So I don't know. I guess if Kobayashi doesn't win on Labor Day, they'll keep doing it once a year on Labor Day until Kobayashi wins, or I don't know. I don't know. But I just found it very interesting that the day after or actually it wasn't even the day after, it was the same day that the news comes out that Joey Chestnut is banned, that they announced this on Netflix. So it's going to be interesting on Netflix, that's for sure. Probably will be able to have a more in-depth look than ever before into this contest. I don't know if that's really what we want, but we might be able to get it with it being on Netflix, because you won't be able to, you know, you don't have to worry about censorship or anything like that. You can, you know, say whatever you want to say, because Netflix is a streaming service. So, you know, they can give that TVMA rating just like they did with the roast of Tom Brady. Kalen DeBoer, the new head coach at the University of Alabama, definitely changing some things up. Right, he's definitely not Nick Saban. Nick Saban, very much a we're gonna wear suit and ties going out, coming off the bus, walking into the stadium. We're gonna do things this way. We're gonna do things that way. Kalen DeBoer has brought in a DJ in an Alabama team meeting, not only to kind of just have some fun with the guys, but also to, I love this idea. Show them how, like, they can allow the players to come up there and they can learn how to run the DJ board, because that's actually pretty fun to do. All right. It is actually a lot of fun to do. If you've never done it before, and you know somebody that does have a DJ board, maybe they DJ weddings or whatever, just see if they'll take you along for a wedding and just kind of show you how to do it, maybe even let you do it for a couple of songs. It is fun. All right. It's fun. It's also, if you're playing fast enough songs and you're going at a fast enough pace, it's a heck of a cardio workout too. I'm just saying, there's a reason why all these DJs are skinny. It's a heck of a cardio workout, bouncing around and moving like that on stage. Plus, you end up dancing a lot too, because, you know, the music's great. So, but I think it's great that Coach DeBoer is doing this in Tuscaloosa. It's definitely a different era there in Alabama for their football team. It's no longer Nick Saban's team. It's Kalen DeBoer's team, and he's running this team just like he did at Washington. And look, he had success at Washington. They played for the college football national championship last year. He's had success. If you're an Alabama fan, you saw this video, because the video has been floating around on social media. If you saw this and you were one of the ones going, well, there goes the discipline, shut up and sit down. You're going to be fine. You're the University of Alabama. You're one of the most talented football teams in the country. Yes, you may drop one or two games this season, but that's only because your schedule is a lot tougher than it ever has been in the last decade or so. And then also, it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve with a new coaching staff. You'll probably still end up in a New Year's Six bowl game. And honestly, with the 12-team playoff, if you only lose two games, you'll still probably make the college football playoff, if you want to be completely honest. So if you got a problem with Kalen DeBoer bringing in a DJ for a team meeting, if you're one of those people that are on social media going, well, that's just not Alabama football, it is now. It is now. If you don't like it, either find a way to like it or don't be an Alabama fan. I think it's great. I think it's fun, because you're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, right? That's the age range you're talking about. These are young kids. I got no problem with Kalen DeBoer bringing in this DJ for the team meeting. Obviously, if they come out slow, this is going to be one thing that people turn to and, well, see, instead of dancing around with a DJ, we should be paying attention to film. This DJ in the team meeting, I'm telling you right now, if you're worried about it affecting the play of Alabama on the field, it won't. I can confidently and safely tell you that right now, it won't. Coach DeBoer will have his team ready when it's time to kick the ball off each and every Saturday this fall for the Crimson Tide. Don't believe me? Go ask a Washington Husky fan. They were ready for every game last year. Let's move on now to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, not at Jets minicamp. Lots of people are like, oh, well, you know, is this a bad sign? I don't necessarily think so. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 40 years old. Think of how many minicamps he's been a part of. I don't think he really needs to come to a minicamp anymore. The guy's 40. He's coming off of a torn Achilles last year that ended his season. So, yeah, I mean, he probably a little bit more interest in rehabbing and continuing to get better from that than a mini camp. And he also, here's the thing of why I don't think this is really an issue. He showed up to voluntary workouts. I'm going to say that again. He showed up to voluntary workouts. Means he came out of his own time and went to these workouts. Didn't have to, but he was there. So I think the fact that he's not at minicamp is not this big of a deal. Apparently, he talked to the coaching staff. He talked to the front office. There is something going on or something happening that he really wanted to be at because it was important to him. It just so happens to be happening at the same time as minicamp, so he can't be there. And the coaching staff understands. The coaching staff also understands that it's unexcused and it's going to go as unexcused, and he's going to be treated and fined as if it's an unexcused absence from minicamp. Right? He's okay with that. The coaching staff's okay with that. They're on the same page with understanding that, okay, there's something that he needs to be at, something that he feels it's important for him to be at. He's agreed that he's going to take the fine and all the punishments like he would normally get for not being at minicamp. We're going to give it to him. And that's where it's going to end. As far as where he's at, I don't know. He's probably off in some hut in Alaska right now. I don't know. Having visions or something. You know, what is that thing he talked about? He sits in like a dark room, and what is it? I don't think it's like LSD he takes, but it's something like that. And like he sits in a dark room and just has visions or whatever. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is into some like new age, weird homeopathic type stuff. Not saying homeopathic stuff is weird, but I just, the stuff that Aaron Rodgers, he's like, you know, medicinally induced visions and sitting in dark saunas and things like that. That's probably where he's at. And you know what? If that helps him play better as a quarterback, if that helps him not have pain and have issues from his Achilles, if I'm the New York Jets, I say, you know what, A-Rod, you go and do you, boo-boo. You go do you, whatever you feel like you need to do that's important to you. You go take care of it. We'll give you the fine that we've got to give you per the NFL rules. And then when it's time to actually have our fall camp and get ready for preseason, just make sure your butt is here and on time and ready to go. I really do think that that's all this boils down to. So if you're a Jets fan and you're panicking about Aaron Rodgers not being at minicamp, calm down. He's in a hut in Alaska or in the Himalayas or somewhere like that right now, having visions and meditating or whatever it is he does. Let's see. The U.S. Open from Pinehurst is underway today. Looks like Tiger's starting off pretty well. Last I saw, he was like through the first like few holes and was one off of the lead. As of recording this right now, I don't have the exact scoreboard up in front of me, but you know, hey, it's a great start for Tiger. When Tiger's playing good, the PGA's getting a lot of attention. You know, lots of people tune in, especially people that want to see. There's a lot of people that want to watch Tiger just to eventually get to the point to see the red and black on Sundays, right? Because that's just his thing, right? You know, you're watching the PGA on Sunday when Tiger shows up in red and black. And you know it's going to be serious and he's going to mean business. So hopefully he can continue the way he started throughout the tournament. And, you know, who knows? We may get a little red and black on Sunday at Pinehurst. Also, good news from this. Nobody arrested trying to get to the clubhouse this morning. Positive thinking, positive vibes, a glass half full mentality, if you will. You see what I did there? But it's just good news there. Obviously, I'm kidding with all of that. But definitely Pinehurst. And by the way, you can actually get updates on everything happening at Pinehurst over on ESPN Pensacola 99.1. So you tune in there, and throughout the day, we'll give you updates on all that's happening there with Pinehurst and the leaderboard and all the things that are changing throughout that tournament. All right, let's close out today's show. Talk a little fantasy football. It's kind of getting to that time. You're going to start thinking about teams that you are, players you might draft for your team. Kind of start putting that mirror or that image in your head. I don't know where the word mirror came from. It's close to the weekend. I'm ready for it. But anyways, you start looking and planning and seeing who you're going to be drafting on your fantasy team. A few players to keep an eye on that you might be able to snag. One or two of these might be guys that you absolutely need to take early because they're not going to last long, but they're also going to be guys that are going to be very crucial. And we're actually going to start off with one of those type players, Travis Kelce at the tight end position for Kansas City. You've got to get Travis with your first. If you have your first round pick comes around and you look at the leaderboard of the top players still available, and I know everybody's going to be going after running backs. They're going to be going after quarterbacks and all of that stuff. If Travis Kelce is still there, you take Travis Kelce. Why? Because there's not a lot of dynamic tight ends inside the NFL. Think about it. Travis Kelce is kind of in a league of his own right now. There's good ones. I'm not saying there's not good ones, but Travis Kelce seems to be steps ahead and leaps ahead of the other ones, especially as far as production. Helps that he has a guy like Pat Mahomes throwing him the football, but that is a guy you definitely want to make sure is on your fantasy team, because even, look, even a guy like Kyle Pitts, who could probably get up to that level of a Travis Kelce as far as production, and he may this year with Kirk Cousins as his quarterback and in this offensive system that they're going to run in Atlanta, he may do that. But the big thing with Kyle Pitts is he's got to stay healthy, and that's why I don't think you should gamble on Kyle Pitts when it comes to your fantasy team. So go with Travis Kelce. If he's available, you got to snatch him off the board. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from the New York Jets, he is now in an offense that's going to have him lined up in one-on-one matchups. And Garrett Wilson is definitely a guy who can win one-on-one matchups. Plus, again, we talked about Travis Kelce having Pat Mahomes throwing the football. If he can stay healthy, Garrett Wilson's going to have Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football. So I think you're going to have a situation there to where a lot of people are kind of looking over Garrett Wilson, right? They're going to be going after a Tyreek Hill. They're going to be going after a Jalen Waddle, a T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. They're going to be going after all those other guys. Garrett Wilson's sitting there on the board, and you need to take a receiver. That could definitely be a quality pick that pays off. Even if you keep him at a flex position, I think that's still a great opportunity there. The first quarterback on this list, Brock Purdy from the 49ers. I think enough is said there, right? Gonna be dynamic, gonna make plays, gonna score points for you on your fantasy team. And also, I think with Brock Purdy is a guy that is still going to be overlooked a little bit, right? Not maybe as much as he was the last season or so, but I think Brock Purdy, because I think everybody's going to be going after Lamar Jackson. They're going to be after going Pat Mahomes, right? They're going to be going after all these other guys. And I think Brock Purdy is going to be sitting there as kind of like that third or fourth option on everybody else's board. You might be able to get a steal if you go and grab Brock Purdy early, right? Because somebody may look at that and they go, you know what? I'm going to go Lamar Jackson first and then circle back around in this, and circle back around and see if I can grab somebody like Brock Purdy, right? So I think if you grab Brock Purdy early on, that could definitely be something that pays off big time for you. I think he's definitely, like I said, fly kind of under the radar, not completely under the radar, but definitely a little under the radar. Zach Moss, running back, who is now with the Cincinnati Bengals, was with the Colts a year ago, did a great job in the Colts system, right? Thrived in their system a year ago. He's actually looking to take that next step and be an even bigger option for your fantasy team in this Cincinnati offense. I think he's going to have more opportunities, not only in the running game, but I think also in the passing game as well. He's going to be behind a better offensive line. He's going to be playing with, I'm not going to say a better quarterback, because I think that's unfair to Anthony Richardson, because Anthony Richardson obviously gets hurt in his rookie season, can't play the rest of the year. So I think, he's going to be playing with a more stable quarterback. I will go with that. More stable quarterback if Joe Burrow can actually stay healthy. So I think Zach Moss could be a great option for you at the running back position. And finally, this is one that's going to you're going to scratch your head a little bit on it. Jaden Daniels, starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders. I know, right? Probably not the quarterback that you would think I would say for a fantasy team out of this year's rookie class. Lots of people probably would go, oh, Caleb Williams. Reports coming out of training camp for Chicago is that Caleb's maybe not necessarily doing so hot there. Whether that's just, things being reported by people who don't really know, or whether that's actually the case, I don't know. We'll find out in preseason and the regular season once that gets kicked off and we're actually playing the game between the white lines with two different teams. We'll find out how he's going to play. But I think Jaden Daniels is the guy to keep an eye on here, because he's a dual threat quarterback who has the biggest upside out of anybody except for maybe Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, the guy is a stud who just makes plays. Last year, one of the reasons he won the Heisman Trophy last year, he had 90 plays of 20 yards or more. And in those 20 yards or more, a touchdown to interception ratio of 22-0, which means he had 22 touchdowns, zero interceptions. He protects the football. He makes plays. He scores touchdowns. And if you've been playing along with fantasy football, you know that any guy that scores touchdowns and protects the football, that's perfect for you at the quarterback position. So if you're trying to find that second quarterback for you on your team, Jaden Daniels definitely could be a great option for you there. Obviously, just a great playmaker with his arm, with his legs, even if you can use his legs to open a play up for his arm. So I definitely think Jaden Daniels is a guy to keep an eye on if you are looking to draft somebody for your fantasy team right there, that kind of, like I said, that second quarterback position, I wouldn't put him in the starting position, but that second position, I could definitely see Jaden Daniels being a quality opportunity for you to grab a player there for him. So that is going to do it for today's show. It went by fast, but that is going to do it for today's show. All that talk about fantasy football has got me excited. I'm going to have to start working on my big board for my fantasy football draft coming up. It'll be here before you know it. What are we, a month and a half or so away from August? So, man, it's hard to believe we're already at that point in 2024. But it means we're getting great sports on the way, right? We're going to have some more Major League Baseball throughout the summer. Of course, once we get into August, we'll have football, college, and NFL. Get halfway through that season, we'll have hockey starting back up and the NBA starting back up. It's just a great time of year to be a sports fan. I know I said that yesterday. It's because I mean it. It's true. Lots of great things happening. Lots of great things going to continue to happening, including one thing I'm really excited for. July 19th, NCAA 25 coming out. Remember it. Mark it down your calendar. Be ready. Update your gaming system if you need to. I'm part of that group. I need to update. I need to get the PS5 going. I'm still rocking with the PS4. I like the games I have for it. I enjoy them. I'm a very simple guy. So I got to upgrade to the PS5 so I can get NCAA 25 when it comes out next month. Again, that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's the Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola podcast. Hey, tomorrow's finally Friday. I'll talk to you then.